This recording is a service of the Allen County Public Library's audio reading service. It is specifically designed for and directed to people who have visual, physical, learning, or language challenges to reading traditional printed materials.
Podcast of Audio Reading Service volunteers reading the Journal Gazette is provided by the Allen County Public Library for the sight and print impaired and made available with the permission and cooperation of the Journal Gazette.
And now, back to the live reading of today's Fort Wayne Journal Gazette with Aaron and Cindy.
We're back from our break. We're reading the Living section from the Saturday, October 4th weekend edition of the Journal Gazette. Here is Erin with today's horoscopes, and then I will read Sunday's horoscopes.
Aries, in the art gallery of your life, you're too close to the picture, caught in the details, so close that you can see only brushstrokes, not the whole painting. Step back. Distance gives you clarity. The bigger picture comes into focus. Taurus, while the whirling mind calculates the benefits and detriments as seen in one moment by one person, the heart connects with a larger picture and comes up with answers to serve the collective. Keep flowing. Gemini, your brand of openness is what people need most right now, more than clever phrasing or polished responses. Your sincerity is the message, and it carries farther than any perfect wording could. Cancer, you know what you want, and now you'll blend those wishes with ways that others can join in. The best plan will be flexible and inclusive. You'll end up with something much more beautiful and sustainable than the original vision. Leo, we give the world stories that are often different from the objective reality of a situation, but that doesn't necessarily make them untrue. Your feelings, perceptions, and subjective reality matter, too. The performance of life is part of life, too. Virgo, yes, you're the sovereign of details, but occasionally your mind could use a break from the vigilance. Blow out the picture until it all goes a little fuzzy, and let that be the beauty you live in. Libra, sometimes you really do have to find your way through a situation, but today it's more like you're remembering as though you've done it already. With your interesting lens and creativity unbound, you'll solve problems that vex others. Scorpio, not all pressure stresses you out. Today's brand is exhilarating. It's just the sort of challenge that opens deeper resources. The energy, creativity, optimism, and talent are all inside you, just waiting for activation. Sagittarius, it keeps coming up for you. Doubt, when balanced with reflection, is part of wisdom. Unwavering confidence is a red flag signaling ego inflation. Fluctuations in self-concept are not signs of weakness, but of awareness. Capricorn, acceptance is your foundation. Everything good builds on the bedrock of acceptance. From there, you will create solutions, systems, or even beauty around the reality instead of exhausting yourself by resisting the truth of what is. Aquarius, you're like a child today in that you can spot a phony from a mile away. It's just a hunch, but hunches are often the aggregate of 100 subtle hints, invisible to the conscious mind. Also, the less you know about a person, the more spot on your initial impressions will be. Pisces, good friends give back. Excellent friends don't just give back. They cater the gift to the other person's preferences, even preferences they don't personally share. Your brand of generosity will be truly selfless and astute. Today's birthday. Welcome to your year of betterment. It's not biggerment or morerment, but it's certainly merriment and enhancement of experience, self-esteem, and relationships of note. More highlights. Scenery glows with romance and the accompanying affection. A financial lift lets you direct resources toward a dream. Those you've guided will bring you the joy of witnessing their success. Aquarius and Pisces adore you. Your lucky numbers are 8, 5, 50, 35, and 13.
And Sunday's horoscope, starting with Aries. Stay flexible and open because relationships shift. Friendships and even rivalries don't stay one way forever. Someone against you today could support you tomorrow and vice versa. Assert your right to be the change too. Taurus. Even when you don't set out to place yourself in the center of social swirl, somehow you keep ending up there. Why fight against it? You're a key part of other people's experience. Being the star is a position of service. Gemini, curiosity is guiding you big time today. The more you participate in your curiosities, the better your luck gets. It does take courage to speak up in situations you know very little about, but people will respect your interest and you'll be met with generosity. Cancer, many attempt to get you into a relationship, win you as a client, or put you in their employ, but it's the one who engages your feelings, senses, and attention who will win the bulk of your attention and take you on a journey to happiness. Leo, each small step today bends the outcomes to your favor. Tasks completed, gestures and messages sent, all accumulating like stones, building the proverbial castle of your magnificent future. Virgo, it's not that you are choosing to take on too much. Too much is being foisted upon you. One tactic is to carry around the corner, then ditch and run. Another is to call in the support and do it together. The most injurious option would be to stoically continue on. Libra, the work won't feel like artistry until your approach makes it so. Each effort adds a brushstroke to the canvas. Small marks gather into form and momentum builds in color and line. With steady attention, the picture becomes alive. Scorpio, a familiar sense comes over you today, the very human feeling that you've carried the same self from day one of this journey, same you all along. Yes, you've grown and changed, but that core remains. Your soul is your touchstone, your lovely and eternal essence. Sagittarius, something can be worthwhile in itself, but still not a good fit for you personally. How will you know? It won't cause a stir, no desire, no curiosity. If it leaves you flat, that's your cue. Respect it, decline it, and keep going. Capricorn, everything you let into your life will imprint on the clay of you. So, of course, you want to invite the influence of your admired ones. You have a strong sense of how you want to be formed. Aquarius, simply inhabiting the same moment can be magical. Connection deepens when two or more people are truly present together, not distracted, but pulled elsewhere. But if you can't share the same place, at least try to share the same time. Pisces, people will adjust to you, respect your contribution, and move aside to make way for you as much as you push into new territory. You have excellent questions and will get quick answers when you ask them directly, simply, and unemotionally. Sunday's birthday. Welcome to your year of truly inspired hosting. It's not always about entertaining, though. You'll be celebrated for that, too. It's often in the way you host a joyful spirit, tend and raise ideas to the next level, and accommodate your loved ones in the fullness of your big heart. More highlights, committed partnership, sporting victory, and a life-changing graduation. Gemini and Aquarius adore you. Your lucky numbers are 6, 4, 44, 1, and 17.
Dear Annie, my husband and I have a large family, and earlier this year we welcomed our newest baby. The pregnancy went smoothly, and everyone thought she was healthy until about a half a week after coming home, when she began showing concerning symptoms. We've been working closely with her doctor ever since, and recently learned she has a rare genetic condition. It's incurable, causes severe symptoms, and is usually fatal in childhood. We're okay sharing information about her condition with concerned family and friends in our children's school group. However, I'm not sure how to respond when strangers in public notice something is clearly off. I want to respect Izzy's medical privacy, but I also don't want to arouse suspicion that we're hiding something. The first time a stranger pointed out how floppy Izzy was, I tried to brush it off while acknowledging it was true. The next time someone in public asked, "Is your baby okay?" I just said she was fine and moved on. I'm wondering if I should come up with a bare minimum response to avoid the busybodies and others, like Child Protective Services, getting involved when we're already overwhelmed dealing with this as a family. What are your thoughts? Signed, Medical Mama. Dear Medical Mama, the stress you and Izzy are carrying doesn't fall under the small talk umbrella. You don't owe strangers private details about your life or your family, period. The next time it comes up, have something short and simple in your back pocket that respects Izzy's privacy but shuts down more questions. Something like, she has a rare condition but she's doing well. She's getting excellent medical care and is so loved. You can't control what others say or think, but you can control how much of your energy you give them. Save it for Izzy and the rest of your family. That's where it belongs. Dear Annie, I'm 4 years older than my boyfriend. I'm 36 and he's 32. I really want to get married and have kids one day, but he wants to take things slow. I don't know what else to do or say to him. He's made some bad decisions in the past, and his mom is his support system. I tried to tell him that I can be a support system, but he doesn't want me to be there for him, only his mom. Any advice? Signed, Unwanted in Hermitage, Tennessee. Dear Unwanted, you've told him what you want. He's told you what he wants. The mismatch here isn't a communication issue. It's a compatibility issue. Now you need to decide if you're willing to wait for him to grow up, put you before his mother, and build a future with you, or if your energy and aspirations are better spent on a partner who's ready for them now.
And now for ex etiquette. Birth father can return long after long absence. Question. My ex and I were married when we were very young. We had a child soon afterward, but my ex left us, and we were divorced 9 months later. I have not seen or heard from him in 8 years. I married a wonderful man when my son was a year and a half old, and he is the only father my son has known. Today, I got a phone call from my ex's aunt, who told me that my ex got married, has a baby, and is moving back into town. He wants to see my son. My husband is furious, and so am I. Do we have to let him see our son? What's good ex etiquette? Answer. Although you probably think this rarely happens, it's something I have seen many times. A young couple gets pregnant, has a child, the young man, not ready to be a father, leaves for whatever reason. Eventually, the mother meets someone new who loves her and the child, and they start their life together. Wanting an intact family, the new couple decides to raise the child as their own, not telling the child that the man he thinks is his father is not his father. Life goes on until the biological father gets older and more mature, meets someone else, has another child, and realizes his mistake. He sincerely wants to make amends for leaving and attempts to re-enter his first child's life, but this presents a problem on a few different levels. One, his first child is now 9 or 10 and has no idea that the man he lives with is not his dad. He is bonded with this man, and the reappearance of his biological father could be psychologically and emotionally upsetting for both, but particularly the child. Two, he not only has a father he did not know, but a sibling who lives with his father. What's wrong with me, he might be thinking. Three, mom sees how much her child's father has accomplished and how well he treats his new family. She's resentful and does not want to cooperate and does everything she can to prevent reunification. Ex-etiquette rule number 5, don't be spiteful, and number 6, don't hold grudges, both apply here. Of course, mom's angry and resentful, but those emotions will ultimately hurt her child, not protect him, and could cause resentment down the road if he finds out the truth on his own. Mom has kept a huge secret from him. There's another school of thought. The child has a father who loves him, mom's second husband, and to disrupt that bond would be detrimental to the child. That may be true, but if the biological father wishes to reconstruct his relationship with his biological son, most courts will support him in that desire. Considering the stress and frustration a court battle may cause, it might be better to allow your ex to right his wrong. Get the assistance of a professional to help design and implement a plan that works up to unsupervised time between father and son. I cannot stress how important it is that the biological dad stay consistent and remain attentive to his son. These dads must be committed to work together and never make this child choose one dad over the other. Finally, if faced with something similar, keeping secrets backfires. Good ex etiquette rule number 8, be honest and straightforward. There may be extenuating circumstances now and then, but for all intents and purposes, it's best to raise a child to understand their parentage from the beginning. That's good ex etiquette.
and Carolyn Hack. Hi, Carolyn. I have a dear friend who occasionally lapses into a perplexing pattern. We have both estranged adult daughters and share camaraderie regarding these circumstances. Occasionally, when she's upset, she starts almost yelling at me, saying things like, "Well, you don't understand because you have a husband and other children." Her delivery feels almost accusatory, like I've done something wrong. This method has emerged in other areas like, "You don't understand because you are financially comfortable." It makes me squirm like I'm guilty of a crime. Any advice? Signed, I have it better. Dear, I have it better. I see their pattern, but I'm not sure I see the perplexing. You said it yourself. Your friend has no immediate family to blunt the impact of the estranged child. That is a part of the experience you don't share. Not that it's destiny. Okay. She has agency to build out her support network in other ways, but spelled out like this, you can agree it's significant and different, right? Now, that still doesn't make it okay for her to almost yell at you for it, of course, whether she's really accusing you of something or it just feels that way. Given that she's in this awful, indefinite, liminal grief space, you know all too well, compassion might be the most effective response. You're right. Instead of getting defensive, see it as frustration overflow and just hear her. No, I can't assume I understand. I'm glad you spoke up. Because in the most basic way, she's right. You don't know how she feels. You wouldn't even if you had exactly the same immediate family size. It doesn't cost you anything to grant her that and move on. It doesn't have to mean you're agreeing on the bigger concept or comparative suffering or entering the pain Olympics. You're just being grateful for the reminder that her needs are different. That is, as long as you're able and willing to be the gracious friend. Even without something heavy on our minds, we are always free to decide a relationship is ultimately a drain on our health or patience, and so it may be for you with this one. You do say your friend's outbursts are occasional, though. That, plus a pattern, means you'll have no trouble identifying it when your friend's emotions have overwhelmed her ability to regulate them.
And now for Heloise. Dear Heloise, I have been seeing lots of suggestions about recycling plastic bags. I save all my plastic and paper bags. The majority are donated to my local food pantry as they are always in need of bags for their shoppers. I even save the plastic bags from items that I order online. Some of them are great for lining small trash cans. Some of these bags are silver on the inside and can be turned inside out if you prefer this look. Some of the bags have a strip that can be removed to seal the bag in case you want to return the items. You have the option of resealing the bag once it's full. Some clothing items ordered online come in zip closed bags. I save those for food waste to reduce odors. I've also saved some for packaging items like shoes or bottles of shampoo when I travel. I put my pill caddy in one so the pills are contained should one of the compartments open while traveling. That was Sandra from Oxford, Ohio. Dear Heloise, at this time of year, many organizations send out directories with updated personal information. When recycling old directories, I shred the old items or at least black out anything personal with a black marker. You never know these days where your information can end up. That's KF from San Pedro, California. Dear Heloise, this is for Mason Fairhope in Alabama, who shared the hint of loading utensils in the dishwasher with the forks together, spoons together, and knives together. When I was young and did the same thing, my mom told me that the proper way to put them in the dishwasher was to mix them up so that they don't nest together. And she was right. For every dishwasher my husband and I have ever owned, the manual tells you not to put similar utensils together as they might not get cleaned thoroughly. It might seem like a good idea to put the similar ones together, but there's always a chance that they won't get thoroughly cleaned and sanitized. That's Barbara from Cedar Springs, Michigan. Dear Heloise, I just read a letter asking how to leave a job on good terms. Your advice on giving a 2 weeks notice and helping train your replacement was good, but one can go further. I used to teach a class on leadership for professional women. We recommended writing Bob Hope letters. Usually they include thanks for the memories to bosses and coworkers and when leaving a job. Write a note about how you enjoyed and learned from other working relationships. The recipients will think, what a nice, classy person, and become a source for positive recommendations in the future. That was Barbara Kogerman from Tulsa, Oklahoma.
And to your good health, dear Dr. Roach, my brother has been diagnosed with prostate cancer. The cancer is also in his hip, bones, lungs, lymph nodes, cervical spine, and brain. He had brain surgery to remove two critical tumors. There are six more tumors in his brain. He is getting radiation to his brain and spine, as well as shots for his prostate. He'll get chemotherapy for the cancer in his lung. I know his prognosis cannot be good, but I can't get anyone to say how long he may have left with us. Answer: I am very sorry about your brother and sorrier still that nobody has given you an honest assessment. Physicians are generally not good about predicting the future. However, based on what you have told me, I would say his life expectancy is weeks to months, not years. I had a case similar to your brother's when I was a resident on the oncology service. He was transferred from another hospital with extensive medical records. I spent about an hour reading them and understanding the stage of the disease and what had been done for him. When I went in to see him, he was obviously very ill and surrounded by at least 10 concerned family members. I did my examination and he asked me point blank if his disease was going to end his life. I started to explain the uncertainty, but he stopped me and asked me again for my honest opinion, based on my knowledge of whether this cancer would kill him. Every family member was watching me, and I told him that his cancer was going to kill him. I couldn't say if it would be days or weeks, but it wouldn't likely be months. He had a profound look of relief when he thanked me and told me that nobody had ever told him that was really happening. He passed away 3 days later. I was unsure if my blunt response was the best answer, but for him and his family, it was what they wanted to know. Since then, I've always tried to be honest yet compassionate when discussing a prognosis in a person with an advanced illness.
And now for the Mayo Clinic news. Kegel exercises can strengthen pelvic muscles, alleviate incontinence. Dear Mayo Clinic, I've heard that Kegel exercises can help with incontinence, but I don't know much about them. Can both men and women do them? Answer: Women are more often told about the importance of Kegel exercises to strengthen pelvic muscles. It turns out that men can benefit from these exercises too. Pelvic floor muscles span the bottom of the pelvis like a hammock and support the pelvic organs, including bladder, uterus, prostate, and anus. In both men and women, the muscles wrap tightly around the anus and urethra. These muscles can change with age, diabetes, certain activities in sports, or prostate surgery. Like other muscles in the body, pelvic floor muscles can be weak, stretched out, strong, or tight. When done correctly, Kegel exercises can strengthen pelvic muscles and alleviate issues including frequent nighttime voiding, dribbling after urination, urinary hesitation, ability to empty bladder fully, constipation, sexual dysfunction, and incontinence. Any exercise to strengthen muscles involves squeezing or contracting and releasing or lengthening. Kegels move intentionally, contracting and releasing the pelvic floor muscles. Find the right muscles. Only about 60% of people perform Kegel correctly for the first time. The three layers of the pelvic floor muscles help stop the flow of urine and find the right muscles for women and men, try stopping urination in midstream. Only do this test about once a month so you don't develop a habit of contracting while urinating. For men, lie down and place hand between the rectum and scrotum. Your hand will feel the perineum lift slightly as you squeeze your pelvic floor muscles. Perfect your technique. Tighten your pelvic floor muscles for 3 or 4 seconds and then relax for an entire breath. It's important to get the full contraction and lengthening during each exercise, so avoid rushing. And don't flex the muscles of your abdomen, thighs, or buttocks. As your muscles get stronger, gradually build up to holding each contraction for 10 seconds. Schedule and focus. Some people try working Kegel exercises into daily tasks like washing dishes or sitting at a traffic light. However, it's best to dedicate quiet time and focus on your Kegel reps. This minimizes the chance of forgetting to do them and helps you contract your muscles correctly. Try completing a set of 10 reps before you get out of bed in the morning and then before each meal during the day. Repeat daily. Like other exercises, the results from Kegels are better the more often you do them. Do 4 sets of 10 reps for a total of 40 Kegels per day. Try to do them while lying down, sitting, or standing. If you do more than 40 reps daily or hold each longer than 10 seconds, your muscles will become fatigued. Drink up. Some people with urinary incontinence limit the water they drink, which can cause other bothersome conditions or symptoms such as constipation. Reducing water consumption may also cause bladder irritation, which can increase incontinence and leakage. Drink at least 64 ounces of water each day, or an amount recommended by a healthcare professional. If you have trouble doing Kegel exercises or are experiencing any of the symptoms above, don't feel embarrassed to ask for help. A pelvic health physical therapist can help you learn to isolate and strengthen the correct muscles. We will now read Perspectives for Saturday, October 4th. The opinions expressed are those of the writers and not necessarily the opinions of the Audio Reading Service, the Allen County Public Library, Northeast Indiana Public Radio, PBS Fort Wayne, or your reader, Cindy Orr.
Erin.
And here's Erin with the first article.
Our first editorial, an urgent call for help. The 30-day notice Three Rivers Ambulance Authority issued September 25th to end medical dispatch services outside Fort Wayne didn't create instability. It revealed what was already there. For months, TRA has covered roughly 20% of county 911 medical calls without reimbursement, while commissioners insisted they had no obligation to pay. This isn't an abstract service. When a 911 operator determines a call is medical, a TRA dispatcher takes over, giving instructions to save someone choking, in cardiac arrest, or delivering a baby until medics arrive. That gap cannot be filled by silence. It's a hullabaloo over $400,000, the amount the agency says the county owes for providing pre-arrival medical assistance. But the stakes are larger. Residents are far more likely to need an ambulance than to face a fire. In 2024, nearly 45% of Fort Wayne Fire Department's 23,000 runs were EMS calls. The city's firefighters and the 4 county fire districts can provide advanced life support, but without trained medical dispatchers, guiding callers, and coordinating response, the system breaks down. Now that the free ride is ending, non-city residents are left to wonder what happens on day 31. It is not enough for Commissioner Ron Turpin to say citizens should not worry and a deal will get done. What has the county put in writing? What timeline exists? If Consolidated Communications Partnership takes over dispatch, who will give medical instruction and with what training? Indeed, what does it matter where TRA's dispatchers sit? Reassurance doesn't work without a plan. Commissioners say TRA must return to the Consolidated Communications Partnership before reimbursement is considered, though it is the county that pushed TRA out in 2020 during the pandemic because TRA dispatchers had more contact with crews. But it also appears there was some underlying tension between Three Rivers and the county over control, methodology, and infrastructure. The irony is that TRA was created in the early 1980s under the public utility model, with both the city and county agreeing to fund and oversee it. That structure eroded over time as a result of various issues, including financial shortfalls and staffing shortages. Indeed, TRA had become a feeder of trained EMS professionals for county fire departments. Last December, the county formally withdrew, declaring EMS a city responsibility while leaning on township fire districts to handle EMS calls outside the city limits. Today, only the city remains, appointing 4 of the FIDE board members alongside the county's EMS medical control chair, Dr. Christian Bridgewater, who specializes in emergency medicine at Parkview Health. Commissioners now frame TRA as a failing system, and to be honest, we have concerns about the organization's structure, using a model no longer embraced by municipalities elsewhere. But since cutting loose its troubled private contractor in 2022 and taking operations in-house, TRA has stabilized. It worked with lawmakers to make reimbursements more reliable. Revenue has grown. The 2025 budget projects a modest surplus. Executive Director Joel Benz and his team have rolled out a first-in-the-region whole blood program for trauma patients and are pursuing certification for integrative health that would allow paramedics to connect patients directly to doctors through telehealth. In other words, TRA has done the hard work of reform. It is a viable professional agency that does not rely on a locally generated tax structure to operate its ambulances day to day. But viability doesn't mean it should subsidize the county. If its reforms are saving city and county taxpayers millions by not being a taxing entity, then isn't $400,000 a relatively fair share to ensure residents get trained medical dispatchers and timely ambulance response when they dial 911? And it's troubling that Indiana's third largest county, with its second largest city, has allowed its only interlocal EMS agency to waddle along for so many years rather than more aggressive reassessing how it should function and be funded. However, we're not the only county facing this issue. Floyd County is confronting the same challenge, but, at least publicly, with more clarity and less finger-pointing. Floyd leaders are weighing a countywide EMS agency, exploring funding through a public safety local income tax, studying whether residents with a population of 80,000, nearly half of whom live in the county seat of New Albany, can be shielded from ambulance billing and building a phased transition before the contracts expire in 2026. We don't know enough to endorse Floyd County's plan, but they are having the conversation with a view of a long-term solution. We're arguing about where dispatchers should sit. With state budget changes approved this year, upending how we fund public services, this is time for the city and county, the city's fire department, and the county's four districts to find ways to work together with TRA. Can this crisis present an opportunity for us all?
And now letters to the editor. City must extend unity of support. In recent months, Fort Wayne has watched one of our own community leaders, a man who has lived here for more than 30 years, operating service stations and other businesses that employ residents, detained by ICE at the Chicago airport upon his return from visiting his family in India. His absence is not just a personal tragedy, it is a disruption to employees, customers, and the stability of our local economy. When longstanding business owners, taxpayers, job creators, and contributors to our neighborhoods are treated as though their decades of investment and service mean nothing, the signal sent is chilling. It tells every immigrant entrepreneur that their place in our city is precarious, no matter how much they have given back. Our community cannot afford to remain silent. The business community in particular should recognize that these actions harm not only one family, but the entire network of workers, suppliers, and neighbors who depend on these enterprises. Fort Wayne has always taken pride in being a place where hard work and service are highly valued. If we do not stand up for those who embody those values, we risk becoming a community defined by fear and instability rather than fairness and opportunity. It's time for our chambers, business associates, and civic leaders to speak with one voice to affirm that immigrant-owned businesses are an integral part of the backbone of Fort Wayne and deserve the same dignity and security as everyone else. We, the people, are overwhelmed. That was written by Junis Pressy of Fort Wayne. GOP's lack of dignity goes on full display. In a speech at Amherst College in October 1963, 1 month before he was assassinated, President John F. Kennedy observed that a nation's character is revealed by the people it honors. It was with this observation in mind that I was particularly disturbed to read the September 17th report that members of the Republican Party in Indiana, including the Attorney General and a local pastor, would be participating in a public event to honor the life of Charlie Kirk, a political activist who was recently assassinated. The stated reason for the honor was that Kirk was assassinated regardless of his political views. How absurd, how disturbing in what it reveals about our nation. A nation should reserve its honor for people who lead honorable lives. Kirk may have been a prominent voice of the Republican Party, and it is a disturbing tragedy that he was assassinated, but he spewed ignorant and hateful rhetoric that is not worthy of the honor of an honorable nation. Speaking of Republican leaders lacking in honor and integrity, I was disturbed to read in the same issue that our governor is encouraging the legislature to approve an undemocratic redistricting plan in slavish compliance with the demands of Donald Trump. Republicans, try to regain your dignity. That was written by John Lowe of Fort Wayne. 1984 peace discounts influence big tech. I read with interest the September 13th commentary by Michael Schaefer and Charles Twite. I am the generation that read 1984 in school. Steve Jobs designed Apple to be essentially customer-friendly since he was aware his generation would presume the business objective was Big Brother. However, I disagree with their analysis. The recent dominance favoring total federal control and censoring him and censoring any viewpoint that expresses opposition is the real Big Brother. The majority of this country rejected that approach. We have witnessed the assassination of a leading advocate for free speech on college campus. This was accomplished by a 21st century Manchurian candidate. A very smart young person was programmed by social media and gaming to kill a person they actually knew little about. No one is exposing the moguls profiting from these tech tools. As the media business model collapsed, the process of purchasing the news from bureaucrats in the federal government began. Routinely, the bobbleheads on the legacy establishment networks that can be seen on Fox and Newsmax. The lemming media has gone over the cliff in the thrall of the tech world. The writers hope none of the readers actually read 1984 and will accept their analysis without question. A member of our family has been captured by social media. I gave this member 1984 and Animal Farm to begin an education about the scary world into which this young person has descended. The parents of the accused killer were apparently unaware of the extent to which their bright son had been programmed. As a result, a bright talent was abruptly taken from our physical world. However, the extensive media presence he dominated will ensure that his message and faith continue to be with us. I do agree with the authors that people should read 1984 and begin to re-enter the actual world and become aware of the forces that are dominating. That was written by Maggie Vegler of Fort Wayne.
And continuing letters to the editor, unintended fallout from illegal interdiction. The president recently issued orders to summarily execute a number of brown people as suspected drug traffickers. Didn't someone in the Navy chain of command think those might have been what would have been labeled illegal orders at the Nuremberg trials? Statistically speaking, any military members having such a thought, but obeying anyway, are at greatly increased risk of developing their own drug problems. Let's recognize the irony. The 6.1% of Americans who are veterans represent about 11% of our homeless population. Around 70% of these homeless veterans have a substance use disorder, about twice the reported level of the homeless as a whole. One of the reasons for this overrepresentation is that when we send our military off to kill people, and they do, they are likely to return morally traumatized. That trauma is greatly increased if they think some of those deaths were unwarranted. There is a direct causal link between post-traumatic stress disorder and self-medicating drug use. One can't help but wonder how many more drug users our draft-dodging president will create in his endless quest to feel manly. Illegal drugs can come from almost anywhere. Block one source of supply, and so long as the demand continues, another one will replace it. If we were serious about reducing deaths from illegal drug use, we'd be focusing on lessening demand. Our apparent inability to stop overdose deaths does not make it right for the president to order our sailors to murder people on the open seas, whether those victims turn out to have been traffickers or not. Signed, Floyd Guffey of Fort Wayne. Data centers' vice grip will deplete aquifers. The idea that we shouldn't worry about the immense water demands of new data centers being built in our region, especially during this severe drought, is not only misguided but dangerous. These facilities require colossal amounts of water for cooling, often consuming millions of gallons annually. Our community is facing not just one, but a second data center about 30 miles away in Van Wert, Ohio. This puts a cumulative and unprecedented strain on our shared water sources. The underground water sources or aquifers that supply rural wells do not respect property lines. They are vast regional systems. When a high-volume user, such as a data center, pumps water at a massive rate, it can create a cone of depression, a localized drop in the water table that can extend for miles. In a drought, when the aquifer isn't being replenished, the effects are exacerbated. The high-volume pumping from two separate data centers can realistically lower the water table across a large-scale area, causing widespread water depletion. This could lead to thousands of rural residents being left without a functional water source. The short-term economic gains promised by these projects, including tax revenue and construction jobs, are a poor trade for the long-term risk of public health crisis and the forced displacement of people from local communities. Signed, Constance Hammond of Decatur.
And here are the primetime TV listings for Saturday, October 4th, and Sunday, October 5th. On Saturday, CBS at 8 p.m. is Matlock, 9 NCIS Origins, and 10 p.m. is 48 Hours. On ABC at 7:30 is College Football, Miami at Florida State. On NBC is starting at 7:30 also is College Football, Minnesota at Ohio State. On PBS at 8 is Keeping Up Appearances. At 8:30 is As Time Goes By. At 9 p.m., The Seaside Hotel. And at 10 p.m., Song of the Mountains. For Sunday evening, CBS, beginning at 8, is A Grammy Salute to Cyndi Lauper, live from the Hollywood Bowl. And at 10 p.m. is Tracker Rules of the Game. On ABC, starting at 7:30, is Black Panther, Wakanda Forever. On NBC, starting at 7:15, is NFL Football, New England Patriots at Buffalo Bills. On PBS, is at 8 p.m. is Brian and Maggie. At 9 p.m. is Margaret on Masterpiece. And at 10 p.m. is The Gold on Masterpiece. And for Fox, at 8 p.m. is The Symptoms, Simpsons, 8:30 Universal, a 9 p.m. Crapolas, 9:30 Bob's Burgers, 10 p.m. Indiana News Now Night Watch, and at 10:30 is Young Sheldon. We're going to read a few sports highlights next, but for you sports lovers, tune in Monday at 6:30 a.m., 1:30, and 10:30 p.m. for Spotlight on Sports with stories from Sports Limited magazine. Or tune in Sunday morning at 6 a.m. or in the afternoon at 4:30 p.m. and listen to a full hour of the past week's local, regional, and national sports stories during Sports in Review. And now we'll read a few highlights from several local sports stories for you, starting with...
We're going to do some scoreboard highlights first. Bishop Dwenger, 27, Bishop Lures, 7. Northside, 28, Southside, 13. Northrup, 35, Snyder, 14. Carroll, 49, Homestead, 0. Concordia, 21, Wayne, 20. East Noble, 41, Columbia City, 10. Leo, 35, Huntington North, 28. New Haven, 45, Belmont, 22. DeKalb, 42, Norwell, 0. Adams Central, 48, Southern Wells, 7. Bluffton, 35, Heritage, 0. South Adams, 42, Jay County, 16. Woodland, 30, Prairie Heights, 6. Andrean, 35, Angola, 7. Cherubusco, 62, Central Noble, 3. Eastside, 42, Fremont, 13. Garrett, 21, Fairfield, 14. West Noble, 34, Lakeland, 7. Black Hawk Christian, 66, Irvington Prep, 0. Mishawaka, 42, Warsaw, 21. Northridge, 42, Wabasee, 7. And Manchester, 42, Whitco, 0. In our first sports article, Chargers defense scores twice on way to shutting out Spartans. With just 3 touchdowns in their first 6 games, entering a clash with rival Homestead, takeaways had been a focal point all week for Carroll coach Doug Dinian. Sure enough, sophomore defensive back Henry Scholl returned an interception 20 yards for a touchdown just over 5 minutes into Friday's game at Chargers Stadium. "Those are the big things," Dinian said. "When you get a defensive score, I mean, it really does turn the tide in the game, and I think that's exactly what happened." The Chargers were just getting started, intercepting 2 more passes with another pick 6 to go with a strong outing for junior quarterback Gabe Freisinger in a 49-0 beatdown over the Spartans. The win keeps Carroll alive in the Summit Athletic Conference title race and knocks out Homestead.
And for girls' state golf, Chargers 10th, Barron's 13 on day one. Carroll finished the opening round of the IHSAA Girls Golf State Finals tied for 10th place with 10 after the Chargers and Kingsmen each shot 355 Friday at Prairie View in Carmel. Zionville 305 holds a 3-stroke lead on Noblesville 308 in the team competition, with Carmel 311 6 shots behind in third. DeKalb, which won the East Noble Regional, carried a 361 to finish the day tied with Floyd Central for 13th, following by Westfield 318, Hamilton Southeastern, while East Noble Regional runner-up Northridge sits 7th.
And continuing high school football, Knights dispatch rival Saints to keep pace in SAC. After allowing a season-high 21 points in a 3-point loss last week, Class 4A No. 10 Bishop Dwenger responded with a 27-7 win over Bishop Lures at Lures Field on Friday in the annual Battle of the Bishops during the SAC's rivalry week. The Saints, who are 5-2, 4-1 SACA, kept pace with Carroll and Northrop as all 3 teams hold 4-1 marks in conference play with 2 games remaining. With the Chargers traveling to Spooler Stadium this Friday to face the Bruins, that sets up a potential elimination game in the conference standings. Dwenger could secure at least a share of the SAC championship by winning its last 2 games at home against Snyder and Southside. The Saints are seeking their first conference title since 2018. The Knights, who are 3-4-3-2 SACB, fell 2-8 in their last 10 meetings against their rivals.
Bruins beat down Brake's curse. How does history get made? It can come with a roar, a titanic struggle, a bolt of lightning no one could have foreseen. It can also simply happen, appearing so obvious in hindsight that it would be impossible to imagine any other outcome. Northrop's 34-14 win over Snyder on Friday night at Spuller Stadium was the latter. Of course it was historic. The Class 6A No. 12 Bruins snapped a 28-game losing streak against their rival that stretched back a quarter of a century. They had not beaten the Panthers in the regular season in 34 tries since 1990. And yet, by halftime, the Bruins felt inevitable. This was no down-to-the-wire slugfest in which Northrop finally got over the hump of big plays and key moments. Rather, it was the off-put school in a lopsided rivalry showing that this time it was firmly the better team for 48 minutes. The score was Northrop 35, Snyder 14.
And in some sports briefs, Purdue Fort Wayne's women's cross country finished 6th of 22 teams in the gold race at the Joe Piane Invitational in South Bend on Friday, the best placement in the race in program history. The PFW men's team took 10th place in a 21-team race, also setting a program mark at the Joe Piane. The Mastodons were the best Horizon League team at the event, beating IU Indy, Green Bay, Cleveland State, and Robert Morris. PFW's Riley Tate, the defending Horizon League mile champion, finished 8th with a personal best time of 17 minutes 34.1 seconds, the third best 5K time in school history. The PFW men were led by Sam Dunnett, who took 13th overall in a personal best time, 24 minutes 39.7 seconds, the second fastest 8K time in program history. Huntington North product Harrison Nicewander led the race at the 3K mark and finished 24th in 24.57.3 seconds, for the Macedons. Seven Purdue Fort Wayne men set personal records in the race. In baseball, around the majors, the Rangers hired Skip Shoemaker, a former NL Manager of the Year, who has worked in their organization the past year on a four-year deal to replace Bruce Bochy. The Mets are moving on from pitching coach Jeremy Hefner as part of a staff overhaul after deciding to keep manager Carlos Mendez. Cal Raleigh won the Baseball Digest / Inside Edge Player of the Year award, narrowly beating out Aaron Judge. Pirates ace Paul Skeen was the Pitcher of the Year by a wide margin, and Red Sox closer Aroldis Chapman was a runaway reliever of this year winner. In golf, South African leads PGA event. Garrick Higo kept his ball in play and took advantage of enough birdie chances for a 6-under 66 to build a one-shot lead in the Sanderson Farms Championship in Jackson, Mississippi. The South African was at 13-under 131, one shot ahead of Eric Cole and Taylor Montgomery.
This concludes the reading of the weekend edition of the Fort Wayne Journal-Gazette. This morning's reading of the journal will air later today at 6 p.m. and tomorrow at noon and 6 p.m. If it is your birthday today, we wish you a very happy birthday. And to our listener, Harry D., who lives in Angola, and anyone else whose birthday is tomorrow, we wish you a very happy birthday. We invite you to stay your readers today have been Cindy with
Aaron,
and we invite you to stay tuned in for the next program.
You've been listening to Volunteers Read the Fort Wayne Journal-Gazette on your audio reading service. We're a special reading service for the print impaired, made possible by the Allen County Public Library and local donations. You're the reason we're here, so please call us with questions or comments at 260-421-1376.